Bad Quaker.com podcast. Today's podcast is the second half of the interview with author Boston Tea Party, and it's recorded outdoors at the New Hampshire Porcupine Freedom Festival 2012. So without any further, here's the interview, the second half of the interview with Boston Tea Party. My name is Ben Stone, and with me is Boston Tea Party. We're talking about data mining, security,
right,
and books, that where you can find information on that to secure your information and guard yourself.
Yeah, you made a good point in the last segment. Computer privacy is not for people who think they have nothing to hide. It's precisely for them. This goes back to Lord Acton's maxim. He said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
It just does. It's just human nature. If I knew everything there was to know about you,
mm-hmm.
it might tempt me to use that information against you, even though that's not my nature. But
right.
And if I knew everything there was to know about everyone here, mm-hmm. you know, being the government, I mean, how could you not use that?
Yeah.
You know, information is power. Power is there to be used. It's a tool. You just want to wrap your hands around that tool and start, you know, wailing. So all these folks out there, they think, well, you know, sure, they can look through my trash or come in my house, and big deal. So they know I bought Cheerios and a condom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big deal. I like sex and breakfast, you know. But you put together someone's profile
mm-hmm.
of where they go and how they think and all that, and you're much more easily, at the minimum worst, you're much more easily sold to.
Yeah.
And I think we got plenty of that as it is. I mean, I really don't want the marketers understanding my algorithm of how I live and work and, you know, where I'm more easily sold to.
Yeah.
That's the least bad it could get. Probably the worst is just a better form of potential control over the populace.
Mm-hmm.
They would understand what makes us tick.
Yeah.
And they don't need that, and we can't trust them with that. That's why letters to grandma ought to be encrypted. You know,
mm-hmm.
emails to grandma ought
yeah.
to be encrypted. If it can be encrypted, you should. If it's there, why not use it?
Yeah.
Really, you know, it doesn't have to be costly, and it's hardly inconvenient these days. And if we all started doing that, maybe we can obviate some of the usefulness of the NSA's new thought police computer center that's being built right now in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
It goes online in September 2013. It's called the so-called Utah Data Center.
Yeah.
A vague, you know, bland, boring name if there ever was one. But it's got 1 million square feet of computer space.
Wow.
And the purpose of this thing, Ben, is to suck up every phone call and email
yep.
in the United States and store it and sift through it and search it, and
mm-hmm.
whatever is encrypted, they'll save for later when their 512-bit quantum computer
yeah.
comes online, solely for the purpose of cracking, you know,
mm-hmm.
PGP algorithms and so forth. So, you know, if all of our stuff is encrypted like tomorrow, even with basic 128-bit AES, that just complicates the thought police task tremendously.
Right.
We just shouldn't make it easy for them. And that's the point, really.
Yeah.
You know, confound these bastards wherever we can.
And if somebody thinks again that thought that, well, I'm not doing it, I don't have anything to hide, I'm not doing anything wrong, why should I do? Well, you know, when you're driving down the road and you're wearing your seatbelt,
mm-hmm.
it's not because you know you're not getting in a wreck at that moment.
Right.
You're not wearing your seatbelt because you're about to get in a wreck.
Right.
You wear the seatbelt because wrecks happen,
right.
and you don't necessarily know it's good. If everybody knew the wreck was happening, then sure, then you'd know when
you're about. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But what if everything is casual and normal, and all of a sudden a relative says, I need help, this is what's happening.
right. and you're not accustomed to using these processes,
right.
then, you know, you have possibly exposed yourself to them,
right.
even though all you've done is received a request from somebody.
Yeah, you know? Could be an accomplice under the law or something like that.
Yeah.
That's an excellent, both good, your analogy about the seatbelt, you wear it routinely, it's general protection, and, you know, also having the practice of using, you know, basic privacy measures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got elderly relatives now using, you know, encrypted email.
Yeah.
And, you know, they should. And, you know, when you mention, well, I'm not doing anything wrong with that, you don't know what is considered illegal.
Right.
There's sort of tens of thousands of laws out there. I haven't read them all, and I'm kind of in the business of, like, understanding this stuff. You know, your listeners certainly haven't.
Yeah.
Or what's going to become illegal tomorrow.
Yeah. There's a book called called Three Felons a Day by Harvey Silvergate, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That basically makes the argument that if just a regular guy gets up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off, goes through his routine of the day, comes back home, you know, goes to bed, the odds are he has violated three felons that day.
I believe it.
Just by living a normal American life.
Sure. Absolutely.
There's so many ridiculous laws that they're written so vaguely that they, if they want you bad enough, mm-hmm. they can figure out a way to bend a law to make
that's
it.
That's the point of them.
Yeah.
Ayn Rand mentioned this, Atlas Shrugged. It was, who was the technocrat thug in Atlas Shrugged, that character. He's talking to Reardon. And he says, who says that, you know, we want these laws obeyed with? We want everyone nervous that they're not sure of, you know, are they following the law or not? You know, mm-hmm. we can use it against them. We want them nervous.
Yeah.
We want them in a state of anxiety.
Yeah.
Like that. One of my readers, her mom came to visit and, you know, pretty much drove across the country, had her handgun, and, you know, she broke a lot of laws through, you know, certain jurisdictions and all that, not knowing. Nice lady, you know, typical mom, had this in her purse thinking it's okay because it was okay back home. And it's like, no, there are ways to do stuff. So, gosh, yeah.
One of my other interviews today was with Eddie Free, and he mentioned something that just struck a nerve with me, so true and so obvious, mm-hmm. but most people don't think of this. You're driving down the street, your normal, typical, everyday person is driving down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this doesn't affect you because you know what you're doing and you understand the risk and you really have a better grasp of the situation than most people do. But your average person driving down the street and they look in their mirror and they think, oh, there's a cop behind me. No lights.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a cop there.
Right.
And almost everybody I've ever talked to, you get that feeling in the back of your neck where the hair starts to rise, and you start checking your speed, you start checking, or, you know, make sure am I doing my, and that level of fear and intimidation, you need to recognize what you're feeling right there.
Right.
You're feeling a lack of confidence because you don't know what that person can do. He might be a really good, dedicated cop who's not going to do anything wrong, mm-hmm. and he's just there doing the best job that he can, or he might not be that.
That's true.
He might be something completely different.
Right.
And you can't take that risk one way or the other. You have to understand and be confident in your situation and know how to handle it.
Yeah. It didn't used to be that way, where if you saw a cop in your mirror, you know, 50 years ago or 60 years ago, you didn't have that automatic, ooh, you know, anxiety. You know, it might have been, oh, you know, it's Mr. Police Officer that I know. It's my friend.
Yeah.
Things have changed, you know, over a couple of generations. I've been through a lot of traffic stops and roadside hassles, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've fortunately not had a cop that actually went to the extent of planting evidence or anything like that. But a couple of scenes looked like they could go that way, and fortunately, I or another cop or a combination were able to, you know, calm this thing down, or the original cop, the detaining cop, you know, was sort of like out of the loop as far as like how he wanted me bad. This guy just wanted me bad. And I was younger and a bit of a smartass about it. And it's important not to be a smartass.
Right.
The trick is to have a good, calm, rational recitation of what you're doing, where your position is. And just not get emotional about this. Don't be a smartass. Don't try to challenge his authority. But he should, like, look at you and go, this guy knows something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's pretty confident. You know, when you ask, am I under arrest or am I being detained?
Yeah.
Right there shows that you know something.
Right.
When you ask what your reasonable suspicion is, officer, he knows, this guy knows something.
Mm-hmm.
This is not how a criminal perp talks.
Right.
You know, this is a citizen that's aware of stuff. So you can keep it at that kind of level. But yeah, you really have to know your business out there. And even then, it's no guarantee, but it's almost a guarantee so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let's go back to the Free State Wyoming Project just for a second.
Yep.
What's the website on that?
It's freestatewyoming.org, which is a very basic site. It's not often updated. We've had a lot of complaints on, your site is stale and nothing's changed in 2 years. Yeah, that's probably true. But all the action is on our form.
Yeah.
You know, we're not very strong marketers. We're practically zero marketers, especially compared to the FSP here in New Hampshire. It's just our different way of doing things. You know, we don't want to market that strongly because the sense of a lot of us there is that if you try too hard mm-hmm. in this, you're going to come across as being fake or glib or slick mm-hmm. or something like that. It's like, you know, if people look up Free State, if they've heard of Free State Wyoming, they're going to find us.
Yeah.
You know, if they've heard of me, they're going to find, you know, me easily, and then from there, FSW. So, you know, we just don't try that hard.
Mm-hmm.
We have basically no fundraising, basically no marketing, no advertising, and yet we still get people every month.
Other than that little sliver of space down the West Coast, the Western culture in general is kind of laid back.
It's
kind of, you know, the West, again, not the West Coast, but the West is kind of a let's see what happens kind of a attitude.
Certainly. I mean, it was the last part of the country to be settled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are generally busy with ag or ranching and outdoor things. And, you know, they have a full life. And so they're not as energized politically about things as they are out here in the East. So
yeah.
that is a major difference between the Free State movements and the people there. And if something's not a problem, you know, we're moving on with our lives and just doing what we need to do. But we can be energized if, you know, there's all of a sudden a bill for, like, DUI checkpoints or something like that, which are illegal in Wyoming, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, it's a different culture out there, different topography, different weather. It certainly is a strong, inherent gun culture.
Yeah.
It's no big deal to see people with a gun on their hip or a rifle in the rifle rack or truck.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting events, gun shows, you know, all the time. Out here in the Northeast, it's much less common. It's kind of strange. It's just not a gun culture anymore.
I understand concealed carry permits are fairly easy to get in Wyoming.
Actually, it's even easier than that. If you're a Wyoming person and, you know, 21 and above and not a prohibited possessor, you don't need a permit to carry concealed.
As it should be.
Yeah. It's almost Vermont level, except it doesn't embrace out-of-state people.
If
you're just passing through, you can either open carry or have a concealed carry permit that's recognized from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a Wyoming person, since July last year, I think it was, it's you know, carry as you wish.
I used to live in Nevada, and I appreciated, I didn't like their law, but I appreciated it more than other places that I'd lived.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs was, and this was early 90s, theirs was you notify the local sheriff's department
mm-hmm.
that you conceal carry. And if they have an objection to that, they have to pursue it, and they have to present a reason as to why you shouldn't conceal carry.
Okay.
But and that to me seemed like, well, yeah, that's innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But even at that, it didn't. It's. I decided, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody.
Right.
I, you know, I just don't like the idea of having to ask permission
mm-hmm.
At all.
Right.
I So don't.
Yeah, it's your right to.
and I have to mention, especially since we're, you know, broadcasting, every act that you do of civil disobedience on any level,
mm-hmm.
you have to measure the cost, the value.
Sure.
Can I take this? Here's a way to look at it. A biblical way to look at it is there's a passage that says that a man starts a house and he doesn't count the cost of that house, and he gets halfway into building that house, and then he realizes he can't finish the house.
Yeah.
Then he looks like an idiot.
Yeah.
And if you decide to take on an issue and resist that issue for the purpose of I lost the word I just used a second.
Moral grounds.
Yeah. Then you have to be prepared to take the fight all the way to the end.
Sure.
And you have to be prepared to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're, I used to be a very violent person in the olden days, and even as, not just as a kid, but as an adult, I've been in a lot of ruckuses.
Mm-hmm.
And I always knew in my mind that you don't allow a fight to start unless you're prepared to take it all the way to the end.
That's right.
And unless you're prepared to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know, a fight on any level is extremely serious.
Yeah.
And if you take it as anything other than serious,
right,
then you're really setting yourself up for problems.
Yeah.
And that's the case when you're dealing with the government. If you're going to take them on a fight on any level, you need to realize what can happen if you lose, and realize the likelihood of loss, because it's their game.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes you're playing their game.
Sure. Yeah, we have to be very sober-minded about these sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whine about it later. You know.
Right.
There's a good story, a true story, in fact. If it's not true, it should be more all the same as Churchill. But no, this is told to me by a friend that knew the players involved. In Wyoming, there's a small town in the center of the state, and the local constable, it was a very small town, so a local cop, was hassling this other guy all the time for open carry.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like each other for some backstory that I don't know. And finally, the citizen got tired of it. And he squared off with the cop, and he says, "Make your move or let the matter drop forever."
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, skin that smoke wagon.
Yeah.
Or shut up.
Yep.
And the cop realized, okay, it's on, and you know, here it is, and he turned and walked away, and that was the end of that.
Wow.
But that citizen was dead damn serious about, I don't care if you kill me or I kill you or both, but this shit's gonna end.
Yeah.
Right. This harassment is over as of today.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yep.
And so people were more routinely serious about that in the metaphorical sense. I'm not saying draw down
cops
about everything. But if there's that serious about something, as I make the point in hologram, Congress knows the people are not serious about their liberty.
Right.
And until they know that, until the people do get serious, Congress is not going to get serious about us. Now they're going to call our bluff over and over and over again. We can whine about, there's contraception requirements in the Obamacare. The Catholics are whining about that. And Barnhart makes a good point on her blog. They can't. No one can make you do anything.
Right.
You just assent to do something. So quit being a bitch.
Yeah.
About it. And she was calling on the Catholic leadership and diocese to like quit whining. Let us be Catholics, Obama. It's like shut up.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know. Just refuse to pay. We're not paying this.
Yeah.
It's immoral in our eyes. So. Yeah.
Give me a worst case scenario for the future, and a best case that we can hope for, in your opinion.
Okay. A worst case that I think is likely, and a best case that may be likely?
Yeah.
Does that frame it
better? Okay. That's better.
A worst case that is likely is basically the slope that we're on now remains about the same or even a little more steep, and the people continue to roll over for more surveillance, more regulation, more taxes, more restrictions on their freedom, and so forth. And I see that for the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's some sort of galvanizing event where this country wakes up and catches its snap again. I don't know what that's going to be. Wow. I'm seeing a gradual arise of a freedom class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially out here and out west. I'm seeing that. It's happening. The information is there. People are get a little more ballsy about what they're doing, and unregulated businesses and cash economy and pushing matters to the state. That is happening, but that hasn't yet hit the mother culture.
Yeah,
and it needs to. So I don't know what it's going to take for the mass of Americans to like wake up and get some courage for a change. We haven't seen it in a long time. maybe a really excessive tax rate, maybe Obamacare. I mean, a lot of people don't like Obamacare and just the coercion involved of being in the state's insurance racket. I don't know, but it's going to need something. At the same point, you know, our masters are very shrewd, and I think if they see something like this coming, they may preempt it with another, you know, false flag terroristic event. Mm-hmm. And we've had some of those in our history, whether or not 9/11 was one of them. Something about 9/11 stinks pretty bad, and it seems like only the feds benefited out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think Al-Qaeda denied it at first, you know.
That's where I'm at with that, too. It's I'm not buying all the crazy conspiracy theories, but yet there's something about that that's not right.
Yeah, and even the 9/11 commission was we didn't get the full story.
Yeah.
Got half the members of the Fed's own commission saying, you know, I'm not satisfied with what we got. There's more going on. There needs to be another investigation and so forth. So I wouldn't put it all past the government to have a false flag event. And then they can have Patriot Act 2 and really lock things up. You know, then it's going to be a biometric ID to go anywhere.
Yeah.
There's going to be checkpoints at every state line. There's going to be basically, you know, no cash over. You know, if it's over $100, you report it. If it's cash,
right.
And then eventually no cash at all. So, I don't know. I'm concerned. I'm getting back to your best versus worst case scenario. I'm concerned that the infrastructure and the pre-positioning of surveillance and regulatory apparatus is going on so successfully that by the time the people are galvanized into awakening, that, I mean, they may wake up and it's already, you know, 1938 Nazi Germany with, you know, the SS and the Gestapo, right. And it's like, okay, you woke up, but you're too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jews woke up.
Yeah.
Too late. The smart ones left.
Yeah.
You know, back in 1934.
Yep.
Before the Kristallnacht.
Yeah.
And people are starting to leave the country. That's the other thing. The smart, wise ones, and I know a lot of wealthy libertarians, they've gotten the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah.
They're in South America, they're in New Zealand, Asia, Europe sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's why Schumer is just so panicked with this whole expat mm-hmm. act of just trying to keep the sheep inside the pen, and if you leave the pen, well, you got to leave all your munchies behind. The feds are getting very nervous, so I wouldn't surprise me if they preempted our awakening with something that would give them the excuse to lock it down.
Mm-hmm.
Best case scenario, well, that requires an awakening, which I don't see yet in a mass level, but there could possibly be quasi-secessions of some of the states.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be our best bet to avoid bloodshed if the federal government would allow that to happen without too much hassle. I doubt it.
Mm.
Because once they let one go, the others go, oh, wow, they didn't get hammered into the ground for this. We're leaving too. Same thing. No one wants to be the first actor in this, but there's got to be one. But a quasi breakup of the country and maybe reconstituting under a constitutional ground that had more than just the mythology of the old constitution, but something that truly kept the federal government and the state government in separate spheres, like Switzerland still enjoys, which has a very beautiful government, system of government. It's still government, but it's not bad, especially for this day and age. And the people have a lot of input and have positively tweaked and massaged their constitution since the original 1848 version, 1876, and then they just rewrote it in 1999, which is essentially the same thing. But it really clarifies the dividing lines between federal and state. And so if we're to survive as a country with any kind of freedom, we certainly need to do that, because as it stands now under the original Hamiltonian document, I mean, we've got a federal government that has become de facto national.
Yeah.
When that wasn't supposed to be the scheme that the people thought. So that would be the best case, is where maybe secessionist pressures culminate into a revisiting and a polishing of the constitutional separation of powers ideal into a better federal government and arrangement. Or you could have states just going it alone as almost nation states.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be wild, and they're going to have to fight for it.
Yeah.
So I really don't see anything that positive in the near future. I think things will have to get much worse before they're going to get better, And the fact that they got worse doesn't mean that they're going to get better. They could get even worse still.
Yeah.
It boils down to, you know, once Americans decide they want to be free, they could be. Mm-hmm. They've yet to decide that.
Yeah.
I think they haven't decided it because I think they're sure they want it.
Yeah.
You know, like the movie from Wag the Dog. You know, it's like, well, why would Albania invade us? Well, we have something they want. Well, what is that? Well, freedom. Why would they want that? So, you know, why would Americans want their freedom?
Yeah.
You know, they give it up everywhere. They just want the convenience of being generally told to do. They want to remain in a state of kind of like a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
They've got some freedom. They can drive the car here and there and, you know, come home late on Friday nights. But mom and daddy still provide the roof and all that. And I think Americans have not decided they want to be adults.
Yeah, the way I say it is that when there becomes a real market for it, it's unstoppable for anything, you know. But we're talking about freedom. So when there is a real market for freedom, there is nothing that can be done to stop that market.
Yeah, demand. When there's real demand.
Yeah.
For it.
It can't be stopped. The market powers are too powerful. You take something as horrible as drugs. I don't do anything, you know. I don't do any drugs or anything like that. I take prescription medication because I'm old and broken down. But that's entirely beside the point. But there's a market for that. There's a demand for it.
Right.
And crack down as hard as they can in a controlled situation like a prison, they still can't stop it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's a market demand for it.
Yeah.
And when there is a true market demand for freedom, there is nothing the state can do.
That's a great point regarding freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why there isn't more freedom, because there isn't the market for it yet.
Yeah.
Hence, there's not the demand for it. That's an excellent way to see it. There's not the demand for it. There's a demand for servitude, which is why we have that.
Yeah,
the government has served that market.
Yeah, and that comforting feeling that they're taking care of me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have that that health care. I'm gonna have the retirement when I get old. I'm gonna have all these wonderful things.
After this tank passes, the tank's patrolling the campground. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Pulling a UN flag.
Oh yeah, he's dragging a UN flag behind a quad. That's funny. Kind of along these lines, maybe the freedom movement's best selling point isn't perhaps to try to convert those that like to live under subservience, but to, in a sense of fairness, say, you know what, if you want to live that way, fine. Let us opt out.
Mm-hmm.
Let us have a parallel system where we don't pay these taxes, we don't get your benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Let us opt out. Isn't that fair?
Yeah.
Because that's impossible to refute,
the
fairness of that. So maybe the freedom movement should focus more on, you know, the fairness of being able to opt out more than anything else.
And even if they deny that, that's a light shining
on
the point,
back on them. It's like, why wouldn't I let you opt out? What's wrong with me? You know?
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Ben. Thanks.
And if we get an opportunity, you're more than welcome.
Okay.
You know,
sure, I'd love to come.
I know you're busy. You have a heavy schedule. And do you plan on coming back to Pork Fest in the future?
I think so. If there's not a schedule overlap with our Jamboree, which goes on next weekend, Free State Wyoming. So we have an outdoor, you know, camping, shooting, you know, barbecue event.
And it's much cheaper than here.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it's only $15 or $20.
Yeah,
we don't provide nearly, you know, we don't have a goodie bag and, you know, featured speakers from across the country and so forth. But it's on one of our members' 200-acre ranch, and we have a 500-yard shooting range, you know, on the property right next door to the campsite. I'll be teaching a handgun class on Saturday, 30 June. The event runs from 29 June to 2nd of July, so it begins next Friday. And we've been doing it. This is our sixth one. A couple years we didn't have one. But if folks are out west, drop on to freestatewyoming.org. From there you can bounce to the forum. And please do join our forum, because that's where you get all the information of, you know, what we're doing and what we're about. You can, you know, see what we're like and so forth. There's a freebie part of the forum that you don't have to register for, but that's only maybe 10% of the forum. So register for the forum. We don't collect names and send the information anywhere. You can pick any username you want, any email account of record you want. That's fine with us. And if you're free and out west next week, come on over. And what was your other question, John? I got started on something else. You were asking about the FSW.
I can't remember.
No, I don't recall either.
Well, we've about hit our time anyway.
Oh, yes, so let's come back to Pork Fest.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and the only reason I could make this one because it didn't overlap with our Jamboree.
Yeah.
So if that's the case next year, then sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the area a lot. I like a lot of folks here. And it's too bad there's not a rifle range next door. But
it would be nice. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, Ben.
Well, thank you for your time, and thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. I look forward to coming back.
Thanks a lot.